Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. With me today is a very special guest, former congressional candidate, endorsed by the one and only President Donald Trump, political commentator, and she's also the president of the Red Renaissance PAC. Kim Klasick, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So, Red Renaissance, the PAC that you started after your congressional run, you're obviously raising money to support conservative candidates around the country. Let's tell everybody a little bit about it, the mission, what you're doing.
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, we were not successful in our congressional bid, but we were happy with the results. We've got so many more votes. I think it was close to 10,000 more votes than any Republican in the district ever. So we were happy with, you know, chipping away and making that stride. And so afterwards, believe it or not, we had so many people that reached out to us and said, you know, you kind of inspired me to want to run in my district and represent my community how it should be represented. And I said, well, you know, it's going to be tough. If your party in your state's anything like the Maryland GOP, where it's kind of like non-existent, especially in blue states, it's going to be tough. But you got to, you know, be willing to really work it out and grind it out. So I thought, you know, the least that I could do on my end is, you know, help raise the profiles of these candidates and help them raise funds. Because as you know, it costs a lot of money to run these campaigns. And so I think, you know, once the election was over on November 3rd, my team got together and they literally had the idea for Red Renaissance within, I would think, 30 days. And so we said, you know what, there's no use waiting. 2022 is right around the corner. Let's just get out there and help these candidates get across the aisle.
Yeah, you're when you announced you were running for Congress and that unbelievable, you know, campaign video that you launched, which, you know, that hit a lot of people because, you know, you realize, you know, everybody knows what Baltimore is. And as far as, you know, Baltimore, so it's a beautiful place. You have the Inner Harbor, and then obviously you have the places that have deteriorated and the crime spikes because, you know, Democrat run city. We know how that goes. But you were a front runner in the I call it the new GOP, the national GOP, I guess. We could call you one of the firebrand faces of the Republican Party. You came out strong, and obviously, yeah, you didn't win in Baltimore. Should you have? Absolutely. But you took the bad, meaning your loss, and you turned it into something good because now, like, smart conservatives are looking at the big picture. I always see people saying, well, what do I care? Like if I'm a Republican in New York, well, what do I care what goes on about a House seat in Baltimore? Well, you should care if you'd stop and take a look at the big picture at flipping seats because we want the red majority in the House. We want the red majority in the Senate. So it's important. It's not just everything starts locally and everyone should always fight to get their local red candidates in office. But when you know you're in a place where it's very difficult and it's just not happening, then you should still look at the big picture. I mean, am I wrong? Isn't that what it's all about? You want the majority.
Absolutely. No, you're correct about that. I mean, look what's going on at Capitol Hill now. I can't believe still today that we lost the Senate. You know, I was down in Georgia for the Senate runoff race on the Save America bus tour with so many others. And I was very disappointed. You know, I really thought David Perdue was going to get his seat. I didn't think we were going to have this struggle with the Biden administration that we see now. But that is why it's important. You need the majority. And I also tell people, look, if you pay taxes on the federal level, just know that your tax dollars are being drained into a lot of these inner cities across the country that are basically doing nothing with the money when it's supposed to be hitting the ground. And so, you know, if you're a taxpayer, even in, you know, any state around this country, please know that you are contributing to the downward spiral you see in Baltimore.
Right. And it's, again, people don't look at that big picture, the federal taxes you pay are going towards federally funded programs, which maybe you don't particularly support, like, you know, the COVID relief package, where none of it went to COVID relief, the American Rescue Plan, which now, you know, Republicans, Democrats want to turn that and use that as spin for the Republicans, saying it's the Republicans that wanted to fund the police because they didn't vote for all that wasteful spending when the word police wasn't even mentioned in that bill anywhere, you know. So Red Renaissance, you have quite a few candidates around the country that you're behind, that you're campaigning and fundraising for, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some great candidates, like Alex Doble in Arizona, Darius Mayfield in New Jersey, Billy Primpf in New Jersey, Willie Montague is a great one in Orlando, Florida. Carla Spaulding, she's also in Florida, along with Luna Lopez. I think she's in the Jacksonville area. You know, you got Kelvin King running for Senate in Georgia. You got Laverne Spicer. She's running for Congress in Georgia. She ran in the November elections as well. You know, and some of these candidates are in deep blue areas where it's going to take some time to flip them. And some of these candidates are, you know, in pretty decent areas where it might be a D+2, a D+4. But even after redistricting, I think we have some candidates, their seats are going to turn a little bit more red. We've got Teddy Daniels out there in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's going to see some, I guess, good news when it comes to redistricting in his area as well. So, we have a lot of good candidates. We're actually adding more that people will see, you know, the next couple weeks. I think we've got 6 more candidates that we're adding to the group. And, you know, it's important to support all of these candidates. You know, I'm the kind of one where I saw what happened during my race. I saw that we didn't get the support from the RNC or the NRCC. And so, you know, I always ask people to donate directly to the candidates because, you know, a lot of times we don't see that money. And I don't think people realize that. Even when you get an email from the GOP saying, oh, look at Kim Klasick, she's an up-and-coming star, da-da-da-da-da. If I see any of that, it might be a very small percentage of like 20 or 30% of that donation. And so, you know, just understand that it's probably best to always directly donate to the candidate, especially if you want to see them win. You know, and then I tell people, look, you can get on their newsletters and sign up for their email blast. You can do phone banking from anywhere in the country to support these candidates, you know, which is a great way to volunteer. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, all these things are so necessary, especially in the last couple months of any election.
Absolutely. And everybody has to remember that you were endorsed as a congressional candidate by President Donald Trump. And you're also supported by him. Obviously, you were just with him last week at an event with your representing Red Renaissance. How is you just saw him? How is he as far as just his spirits, I guess? I mean, he's still working hard. I mean, he's now having rallies, but when you see him face to face, what's your take on how he's doing right now?
I think he looks better than ever. You could tell that he lost some weight. I thought it was funny because we took some pictures and then he was like, let me see those. And then he's like, all right, let's do some more. And he had a button his jacket up. You know, he's funny. You know, he's Donald Trump. Like, just, I think about all the fake news that comes at him and everything that he takes on the chin. And he just keeps going. He pushes along. He's still, you know, very charismatic. He tries to make jokes, you know, light jokes of things. And, you know, I can't even imagine what his family is going through with all of, you know, just being attacked almost every single day, as we see even just on Twitter alone. So, you know, he's in good spirits. Like I said, he looks great. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to be doing as far as 2024, but, you know, he doesn't look like he's missing a beat. You know, it seems that he has more energy now than before.
I know he's out there playing golf all the time. I would imagine that contributed to all that weight loss. But, you know, I can't imagine the stress levels of that man. And at his age, he's trucking along. You can, you know, he just turned 75 and the current president, 78. They're not too far off, but it's amazing the cognitive status, the differences of each one. You can't even compare them. I mean, you know, as you see, any rational human sees, we have a president now that, one, his handlers keep him away from the press as much as possible. And when he's in front of the press, He has index cards, call on lists. Imagine a leader, the leader of the free world, who has to sit at the podium and have a list of issues and then have a list of media people, reporters, to call on. I don't know if that's ever happened to an American president. It just boggles my mind, you know? The leader of our country can't take an off-the-cuff question and answer it, you know?
Yeah, no, it is very bizarre. I always refer back to when President Barack Obama said, remember when Joe Biden threw his hat in the ring? His very first comment was, Joe, you don't have to do this. And I thought, that's interesting, right? Because here's this, your VP. Here's someone that he says you're best friends. And your response is, you don't have to do this. I think there were a lot of people that already knew that he was in a decline. I think they didn't feel like they had someone else to really put up to go against President Trump. And someone also that is easily, you know, able to manipulate. I mean, think about it. Like you said, his talking points are all written for him. You know, this is somebody that they can stand up, and I say they, the DNC, can stand up and say, here's what we want you to say, here's our message for today, this is what we're going to push, and that's what he does. Because when you look at, you know, his record, even as a senator, it's a complete contrast to what he talks about today. And you have to wonder who is making, you know, these notes and telling him what to say, because he was never like this. Joe Biden was much more of a moderate his entire career.
And I think he just gave him a lot of credit there. My take on Joe Biden, because of his completely different rationale on things, is, you know, take him when he became a senator. He was groomed by segregationists, in my opinion, and I say this to everybody. I think that Joe Biden is the biggest racist in politics in the United States right now. That is my belief based on, and I think he feels, well, we'll talk about his handlers in a second, because I have my guess. I talk about that with people a lot. We take that 1994 crime bill that he pushed and pushed, that Bill Clinton signed into law, that destroyed, I mean, completely destroyed the lives of thousands of black men over low-level drug crimes, because he wanted to attack Bush about the failed drug war. So he wanted all of that money to pay for more police, to pay for more judges to convict, to pay for more building of prisons to incarcerate. And now he's completely the opposite. And maybe he was moderate. Maybe he was. But now he's just the radical progressive, because not, and I don't know if it's by his choice. I don't think he has a choice. I think this is Barack Obama's third term, but I also believe that his main handler is Susan Rice and Barack Obama hand in hand. That's my belief. I think that is who is running the country with Joe Biden as the figurehead.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if that were true. You know, we actually had somebody come out during my campaign from Baltimore City that was affected by that 1994 crime bill. And he did an entire video. We had a commercial ad run on the local stations of him telling his story and how it did ruin his life, you know, over low-level marijuana charges. And yeah, that was Joe Biden all the way. And, you know, my opponent, Kwesi Mfume, was right there to sign, to co-sign that bill. Right. And so people need to understand, you know, what's, you know, these people are and what their, you know, their agenda was for so many years. The problem is we have a lot of people in our country that don't really know the history, especially of certain candidates, even when they were already in political office, right? There was no reason that they couldn't see what happened with my opponent when he was in office from the 80s to the 90s. But that would take somebody actually going up and looking into what it is that he voted for and what he did. And unfortunately, we live in a society where we love that instant gratification, right? It's the land of social media. So it's like people just go off of what they hear. If it sounds good or if it sounds like it fits their narrative, that's what they use. But nobody really wants to do the work or the research or just take, 10 minutes to look it up for themselves. And so that's a big problem that I think we have. I mean, the way that we talked about racism all through, 2016 to 2020, the fact that we have Joe Biden as a president now is unbelievable to me, considering, like you said, how he was during, you know, his entire career. But there's, to me, again, on the other side of this, there's no reason I would ever expect that guy to be voting on some of the bills or even pushing some of the bills that he loves to push now. You know, you think about this whole thing with transgender men entering into female sports. That is, I saw nothing in Biden's history that would show that he would support something like that. And so for him to now want to support this and, you know, wanting to support or even force some of these Catholic schools into, you know, telling them what they should be doing when it comes to sexuality and, you know, the transgenderism. I am shocked at what he's been saying and what he's been pushing. But like you said, it's got to be some other handler that's doing this.
There is no way Joe Biden supports critical race theory in schools. There is no way Joe Biden supports biological men playing in women's sports. I don't care what the idiot box tells everybody and CNN and social media. It's not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
It's a fact based on facts. Someone just does not all of a sudden wake up and decide they're not a racist or based off their racist past.
Yeah.
With things that they've done, like the crime bill and things that they've said. Okay, so that to me, unfortunately, this is where we are. As we know, it always comes in cycles with the presidency.
Right.
Kamala Harris, the Democrats are already in a panic, thinking that she's not going to be a viable candidate in 2024, which, I mean, I don't feel she is anyway. She can't even do her job as vice president. She can't even handle a simple task of securing the border, which was already secure before they took office. But neither here nor there. I don't even want to waste time talking about the Biden administration anymore. I wanted to circle back, pull a Jen Psaki for a second, back to Red Renaissance, because I wanted to to talk about one candidate in your group, Alex Stovall.
Oh yeah.
I had him on my show a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that man, he's 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Military, black conservative, running in Arizona 9th District, talking to him. It's somebody that really just wants to do the job, but like he wants to work for his constituents. He wants to serve the people. And unfortunately, people in Congress now, they lose sight of that. They're in there so long, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're entitled, and they feel a certain way. We need more candidates like him. And I'm sure I see Willie Montague read some things about him, and he seems to be right there as well. And it's so important. I told Alex, I wish there were 100 Alexes that were running for congressional seats, because just his values and what he wants to do. I just wanted to say that. I think he's, I hope and I pray that he succeeds and he wins. He would be an unbelievable asset in Congress.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thank you for that. Alex is great. He's in Arizona's District 9, which after redistricting will also look a lot better. But Alex, like you said, he's very young. He gives me like the Congressman Madison Cawthorn vibes, you know? Yeah. Young guys that are just ready to duke it out no matter what it takes. And they're not going to back down. And, you know, I could see somebody like Alex Stovall one day running for the presidency. You know, even if he does not win this time around, he's the kind of guy where I hope he never gives up. That is somebody, like you said, that we can all get behind. Just a really good kid. I don't know if he talked to you about his story as much, but, you know, his childhood wasn't the best, but he overcame a lot. And he kept pushing forward. And to me, I have so much respect for candidates that overcame and still got up and said, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring to fight for people that are going through what I went through. That tells me a lot about someone's character. And so, yes, I'm a huge Alex Doble fan, and I can't wait to see what he does.
Me too. Me too. I'm right there with you. I wanted to ask your take, your reaction. I think you even posted it. I know I posted it this past 4th of July, America's birthday, a day of great celebration of our independence.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we have members of Congress that, some of them are, I'd say, terrorist sympathizers and anti-American and want to dismantle everything that America stands for ridiculous reasons. But one in particular who decided to, and I believe a few members of Congress decided to attack our country on America's birthday. But one in particular, Cori Bush, who she's, you know, we know what she is, an activist, and she hates America, but she tweeted this, and I'm going to read it. I know you saw it, but I want to read it for everybody who didn't see it. So this is a tweet from Cori Bush that was she put on the 4th of July. When they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this. The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. Kim, you're black.
I know.
And you're free.
According to Cori Bush, I'm not free. I had no idea. I was today years old when I realized I wasn't free here in America. to me, that was astonishing. I was actually very happy to see a lot of Democrats push back against her for tweeting that out. You know, here's a woman, like you said, she's an activist. I don't know if people know her story, but she literally was just an activist that decided to run for office. And, you know, kudos to her for doing that and for winning. But, you know, at the same time, you can't say things like that are just so anti-American. There's no way that you as a black woman would be a member of Congress coming off of just being an activist, you know, not having any experience in politics, not knowing, you know, much about it. But people voted for you because guess what? You are free to run for office. You are free, you know, to tweet what you tweeted. And so, you know, I was, like I said, I'm glad that Democrats pushed back on that. I don't understand why we have so many. And I think it's really this that squad that talks a lot about, you know, being anti-American or anti-Semitic. And I don't know what all this hate is fueled from. You know, we see a lot of times Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she talks about dismantling the system. Well, why would you dismantle the system? Here you are, a refugee that came to America. And now you're a congresswoman. It sounds like the system worked just fine for you, but you want to dismantle it once you get on Capitol Hill. I find that interesting, you know? And for Cori Bush, again, to say black people aren't free, please know the most successful ethnic group in America are the Nigerians. And by all appearances, they are black. And they are doctors, lawyers, professors. They have the most PhDs out of any ethnic group in the country. It is possible, right? You know, are there cultural differences? Yes. Right? African immigrants, they focus on education, family structure, and hard work ethic. That is what I think we should all focus on, because we know in this country, that is how you succeed, right? This is still the land of opportunity. So I was very disappointed when I saw that. I don't know if you saw my tweet coming back at her. I said, look, I can say something rude, but what I really want to do, since I have this pack, is I want to make sure that there's someone running in Missouri District 1 to run against her and hopefully defeat her. I know it's a very blue district, but, you know, that's a district we should start chipping away at immediately.
100%. I saw that tweet about, you know, it might be time to primary her and or just get her out totally. She's toxic. That whole squad. It's the jihad squad. That's what I call it. I know that. I know there's a couple prominent Republicans that call them that as well. But that's what they are. You know, they're not. They're activists. They're all useless in Congress. I mean, what are any of them doing? AOC is, I believe, she was even rated the most useless or very close to the most useless member of Congress in a long time. And people don't realize to talk about diversity and being free to do what you want, as whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever you are. Look at Congress, the 117th Congress. I did this in one of my earlier shows. I don't remember the numbers, but I had them all. This is the most diverse Congress, I believe, in American history. And the contrast of Congress now from what it was 10 years ago, I believe, or 20 years ago, is unbelievable. The amount of African Americans members of Congress and other dissents, Hispanics, Asians. Who would have thought in the last election in 2020 that houses in California not only would flip red, but you would have Asian Americans, Republicans, flipping those seats?
Yeah.
So when someone tells me the lack of diversity and white supremacy and blacks aren't free, I say, look at Congress. But not only look at Congress, look at corporations, look at entertainment, look at business. You know, when our moron in chief turns around and says that black people, they have great business ideas, but they can't get attorneys and accountants. I know black attorneys and accountants. I know black business owners that have lawyers and accountants. So it's just disgusting and distasteful. And unfortunately, this is their narrative, you know?
Yeah. But.
So
when you made that comment, I just wanted to say, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but his VP, Kamala Harris, is a black attorney. I don't know if he knows this, but somebody should probably tell him that.
I don't know if he knows it. I can tell you that I am confident that she is the last person that he wanted it as his running mate. I mean, let's face it. Politics are politics. I don't think they have a very good relationship based on what we saw in the Democratic debates when they were running against each other for the nomination. And in general, from Kamala is not just going to make those statements and then, oh, no, everything's okay. Now I'm going to be the vice president. No, you're pandering to politics and what's good for you. And, you know, they're not a compatible relationship, that's for sure.
No, not at all. You know, she gave us that heartfelt story about being that little girl on the bus. Right. And that is when she had the best, I believe, that's when people really were pushing for her to move forward. And then after that, Tulsi Gabbard just annihilated her in the next debate.
Yes.
Pushing her down to 1%. Just throwing her history back at her as, you know, when she was a politician in California. So, you know, I don't think it's a great match. I don't think that, you know, Joe Biden wanted to be with her. But remember that hashtag win with black women, that was trending at a time where he had to pick a VP. And if you remember, it was between her, Susan Rice, and Karen Bass. It was all black females that he was supposed to choose from, which I thought, you know, why isn't anyone calling that out? You know, are we now trying to say, oh, you know, we're picking or choosing our VP based on being a black female rather than, you know, someone being amazing for the job? This is exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. fought against. And I can't believe that we're now at this point in time. But yeah, I'm sure that's not the match that either one of them wanted.
No. And I'm imagining that the 44th president had a lot to say with that, because those three names, I mean, two of them, one is the VP, and Susan Rice, she is in the administration, high up there. I believe, what is she, the director of domestic policy or something like that? They buried her in there. So they got their black female vice president to pander and appease the masses. And then they have Susan Rice in there to handle other things, like probably Joe Biden's day-to-day operations. So yeah, you got two of them in there. And Kamala Harris, I don't think, people say, oh, Kamala Harris is running the show. Kamala Harris is not running the show. She's just there. She's one of the characters in the story, and that's it. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk about, you've been obviously pretty, you've been trending, Kim. You've been trending on social media lately, and I know people are gonna watch this podcast, and obviously they would have attacked you and attacked me if we didn't touch on the Kim Klasick, Candace Owens riff that's going on.
Yeah,
I'm not looking to talk about details. I have my opinions on the whole thing in general, as an issue. I have messages for just people out there that are on social media that are picking sides when, to me, there's no sides to pick at this point. There shouldn't be any sides. We have two strong conservative women, which there aren't that many of in the conservative movement. There are some, but not a lot, who are feuding with each other over accusations and tweets over social media and some Google searches that, in my opinion, don't really add up to much, and they don't show any facts.
Right.
So how are you doing all this first before I, because I have a few things to rant about the whole thing in general that I want you to hear and I want everybody to hear. But how are you doing with all of this? What can you talk about?
Well, you know, we have a legal team that's on it. We got our legal team on it almost immediately. There were just so many crazy accusations. I was like, look, I'm not going to pick through this crazy nonsense.
Right.
I'm going to get a legal team and we're going to fight this the right way. You know, I think everybody wanted me to react immediately with an emotional reaction. I think I've, you know, taken a measured response to things is something that we should do, especially someone that wants to be a leader in public office. So I wanted to sit back and gather information and observe and, you know, talk to my lawyers. Unfortunately, there were so many different people mentioned in this video that was put out that are private citizens. And so we had to wait for them to also get their legal counsel together. And so, you know, there was a little bit of waiting around just so we could make sure that everybody was equipped to go forward and handle it. I understand that a lot of them were framed as questions, but some of them were not. Some things that were said were complete accusations. And, you know, it's a shame. You know, none of it is true. But, you know, no matter what I say, unfortunately, like you said, you know, the social media mob mentality, no matter what I say, you know, Candace's supporters are going to say, no, she's right. You know, no, that's not how this went down. I looked it up myself. You know, there's so many people out there that can't correctly read an FEC report, first of all. There's a lot of people out there that have no idea how much it costs to run a campaign. You know, we just talked about the Senate runoff race in Georgia. Kelly Loeffler spent $80 million on her campaign and she lost. Wow. Campaigns cost a lot of money. At the grand scheme of things, $8.2 million, it's a lot of money, but not really when you're trying to flip a deep blue district. And people have to understand, we didn't get that money until the viral ad came out. So that was August 17th when that viral ad hit the ground. And from there, we had to scramble and make the best decisions possible. I myself did not take a salary or any pay from my campaign. My treasurer is the only one that had access to it, the bank accounts. So I could not wire money. I couldn't withdraw cash. I couldn't do anything with the campaign treasury.
Not to interrupt you, but you were entitled to take a salary as a congressional candidate.
Yes, I was. I was. And many people do. And I don't blame them for doing that because it's a full-time job. Sure. You know, you give up your whole life running for office. I was just fortunate enough, you know, to have my husband that was still paying the bills. And I said, you know what? People are donating this money because they want us to win. So if I can use as much money as possible on the race itself, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, and I didn't hear anybody account for the fact that we left close to $1 million in the bank. So what am I, a conservative thief? You know, I only took some money. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it was hurtful. It you know, was, I guess, to damage my reputation because I did a quote tweet that, you know, with my opinion that someone didn't like. And so, like I said, we're going to continue to fight this. But, you know, it's just unfortunate that anybody that's really for the conservative movement would try to tear another conservative down, especially one that is supporting 20 other conservatives that are currently running for office. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, Kim. You're absolutely right. And you made a comment on the social media mob. And when I hear social media mob, in our realm, in our conservative realm, I immediately think of the social media progressive leftist mob that want nothing more than to attack conservatives to weaken the conservative movement And then we have, yes, okay. So Candace Owens has a lot of fans. She has like 3 million followers on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is. She's got a show on the Daily Wire. She wrote a book. I'm a fan of Candace Owens. I read her book. I watch her occasionally. My problem is with the supporters, the so-called conservatives that based off social media actions. Oh my God, Kim turned off her comments. Well, you know, not for nothing. Kim has a child. I have an 8-year-old that's very, very good with her tablet and reading certain things.
Yeah.
Maybe Kim doesn't want her daughter exposed to that. She has a family to protect. So the social media nonsense mob, that's what I think it is. It's nonsense because all of the junior gumshoe detectives out there that said, well, I did a search myself and this doesn't come up right. Come on. Yeah. Stay in your lane and stick to what you know. Everybody needs to take a deep breath. Couple things. If you, Kim Klasick, were under any sort of investigation, whether it be the IRS, any type of federal investigation, people, don't we think, remember Kim Klasick, Donald Trump endorsed candidate. She has a connection to the former president of the United States that everybody loves in the conservative community. Do you honestly think that an investigation would not be made public by left-leaning media to try to discredit you in order to discredit the former president, Donald Trump, who's having rallies, who's every day putting statements out, who every day is endorsing candidates, who every day is fighting, who you were just with at an event in New Jersey? And another thing, to be at that event, Kim, with the Red Renaissance and all of your candidates that you're backing, because there were several of them there. I saw the pictures. I saw the videos. Doesn't the Secret Service have to vet everybody that attends that event? And if you maybe you were under some sort of investigation, they probably wouldn't want Kim Klasick there, especially to take pictures and have a chat with Donald Trump.
Yes, that is correct. The Secret Service always vets you. So yes, if I was under investigation, I know a lot of people say, well, you're saying that you're not under investigation, but they wouldn't necessarily call you. But the FEC would be contacting my accountant and my treasurer. Yes, they would. And like you said, I wouldn't have been able to be with the Trump organization or Trump himself in New Jersey on Tuesday. It just wouldn't have been possible. And so I think, like you said, people need to take a deep breath. People are not thinking clearly.
No.
They are literally just jumping the gun and just saying, oh, you're guilty. You have to prove your innocence. No, you got to prove my guilt. And exactly. That has not been done. Other than that, I'm going to keep working and moving forward because this is a distraction. We got Stacey Abrams in Georgia right now with Ariana Grande registering all of these voters, flipping Republican voters to Democrats. And here we are going back and forth on some hearsay on social media. It's unbelievable. You know, we look like little children at this point.
I agree. And you're out there working, pushing conservative candidates, campaigning every day. I see your social media every day. There's events going on all the time. You're attending events. You're working. You're campaigning. You're trying to strengthen the conservative movement in this country by helping to elect conservative candidates.
Yeah.
And I mean, no disrespect to Candace Owens. She's a political commentator. She has a show. She's a firecracker. She's aggressive. I like 99.9% of the things that she says that I agree with, but that's what she is. And she's very good at what she does. She's a commentator. She's good at debating. She's good at attacking. I don't think Candace Owens is going to be watching this, but if there's a chance she is, Candace, I think you might have it a little wrong. I think you might have to take a step back. Hopefully you're not going to come and attack me, but it is what it is. You can come after the little guys. I hope that, Kim, that you and Candace, with your legal teams, because that's who's involved, can come to some sort of conclusion here. Everyone's on the same team. The conservatives that are out there attacking you on social media, We're all supposed to be on the same team. Everything that these conservatives, so-called conservatives, because I don't know what they are now, that they want to attack another conservative based off no facts, based off no evidence. I'll ask you straight out, Kim, about an investigation, but you already said it, but I'm going to ask you, has your legal team or your financial people been, have they been reached to by any federal agency asking questions in an investigation?
No, not at all.
Okay. So there you go. So there you go.
And as you know, we file every quarter with the FEC. This isn't like, you know, we wait to the end of the election cycle and then try to push money off the books. You can't even do that with the FEC. There are quarters that you have to file. You know, they want receipts for everything. We had canvassers that were literally hitting the streets when they could. And, you know, we had to give them their W-9 forms or whatever it's called. They keep track of every single dollar that comes into a campaign. There's no way that you're just taking money off the books. I mean, you would literally have to do something like Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, have her, you know, now husband, have some consulting firm, pay him, you know, show the receipts for paying him for his consulting firm. There's no way you could just push money off the books, right? Obviously, I didn't do any of that stuff. And so it's interesting to me that we're at this point. I can't believe we're even having this fight. Like you said, Candace Owens is a commentator. I'm someone that runs for office and helps other people run for office. We're in two totally different lanes. We don't, our lanes don't even cross paths. We don't collide, you know? So it doesn't make any sense to me. I know that there are certain candidates that they support, you know, through the crew that they have. And maybe they feel that we're, our candidates have taken money from others. And I see that comment a lot, that I shouldn't have made all that money because it could have been used in other, districts. Well, guess what? I didn't hold a gun to any donor's head, right? They're free to choose to donate to anybody that they want to. They chose to donate to me because they believed in our race. They understood that it might be a win this time. It might be a win next time. You know, it's going to take time. But they donated because they care. They saw what's going on in Baltimore, and they care. They saw how hard we were working, and so they donated. It's not about taking money from other candidates. They could have donated to anybody else in the country. They chose our race because this is who they wanted to support.
Oh, it all makes sense. And I'm gonna leave that subject like this to everyone out there. Just watch and listen. Just be rational. These attacks on both sides. There are some people out there attacking Candace too, and I don't agree with it. And like you said, you guys don't collide. Candace is in her political commentary lane. You and you're in your campaign pack lane. I hope there's a resolution. You are innocent until proven otherwise. You don't have to prove that you're innocent. You are innocent. And that's it. So forget about all that. Like I said, if anybody's listening that's watching that has gone on the attack, I think you should just take a minute and think about what you're doing and the potential damage it's causing based off nothing. It's almost like critical race theory. It's a theory. It's not based on facts. So okay. I'm going to leave that at that. Kim, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you, the Red Renaissance Pack, how they can help, how they can donate, where do they go, what can they check out to do that?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Kim K. Baltimore, Instagram and Facebook at Kimberly Klasick. YouTube, I do post some stuff on YouTube every now and then under Kimberly Klasick. And as far as Red Renaissance, we have a Twitter page, Red Renaissance, Instagram, Red Renaissance, same with Facebook, Red Renaissance. And then, of course, redrenaissance.com. And on that website, you'll see a lot of the candidates that we support. And we ask people to donate directly to the candidates themselves, not to Red Renaissance, because, again, this is not about us. We'll you know, get our money and make our money elsewhere to continue, you know, the strides that we make by going across the country and fundraising. Right now, we would just love for people to just donate directly to the candidates. They got to get their signs up. They got to get their mailers out. There's a lot of things that they got to do, even, you know, paying for those meet and greets and those fundraisers. They got to do all that stuff. So, you know, I just hope people really take a good look at those candidates because, like I said, we have some really great people running for office.
Absolutely. Everybody go to redrenaissance.com and check out the candidates. I've read about some of them myself, and they're real they're real fighters. They're real patriots, especially Alex Stovall, who I've had here. He's unbelievable. Kim, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be here with me. And I wish you the best of luck in everything that you're doing, especially pushing the conservative values with all of these candidates. So again, thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. We're gonna end it there. So to get all the episodes, go over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. Remember, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.